Welcome back to the Kickback Pod. I am your host, Gavin Jr., alongside my brothers, James. James, how you doing, man?
Hey, I'm good, man. It's good to be back. Looking forward to talking some sports and just enjoy a little bit of our evening.
You know what I mean? That's what we're going to do. We have a great evening. I heard you had a rough day. I had a rough day myself. But, hey, you know what I'm saying? Something about us having to be aggressive towards people today is just one of those things. What's up, person in the background? How you doing? You can say hi.
Oh, what's going on, everybody? I'm good. I'm here. And
I was getting to you, and we got producer Dom as always. Producer Dom, how you doing?
Oh, you were saying person. Oh, my God. That completely went over my head.
I was trying to get the person.
I'm going to be honest, that went right over mine, too, and I was the one that was dealing with it.
Producer Dom is here. What's up, buddy?
I'm good. How is everybody?
Well, you heard bits and pieces of my conversation today with somebody, so that was nice.
I did.
And I don't think I handled myself pretty well, but hey.
Very colorful.
I like to be.
color commentary.
Literally, hey.
All right.
Color commentary.
Oh, my gosh. don't worry, I'll tell you that much.
With that being said, yeah, man, reverse Oreo action going on over here. But with that being said, let's get into the sports world. A lot to talk about. Fellas, James, Dom, there's a lot going on. The NFL season is around the way. Some of the NBA schedule has released. We got Christmas Day games already lined up. We got the Sixers from start to finish. And let's start with the Sixers, because guess who won't be there to start the year? Joel Embiid. Reports came out recently, fellas. I just saw this maybe about an hour ago. Reports came out that Joel Embiid may not be ready for camp, and ultimately means he may not be ready for the start of the season. So I'm going to just start this off. You paid this man a 3-year extension, $150-something million, right? That's money you can dream of. All that money can do a lot of great things in the world. Except make this damn man play. I don't get it. You go to the Olympics, right? You go to the Olympics and you play there. You weren't even the best player on Team USA, and you were able to play for Team USA, and you came back to the team that paid you, James, to the team that pays your checks, that signs you, that pays your bills, that sets you up with your family with generational money. You start the season off unhealthy. Then you, not only unhealthy, Don, me and you talk about this every once in a while, how he pushed a reporter, warranted, all right? You don't write about someone's deceased brother and kid that's not even old enough to understand what basketball is yet. He may be old enough now, but at that time, I don't think so. So you don't do that. So then you get suspended. Then you come back and you just look out of shape and you look hurt. Now, on top of that, too, the first team on ambulance team and Paul George also started the season off banged up as well. The reason I bring Paul George up, because there was a picture circulating, I don't know if you guys saw this, of him wearing a damn knee brace. How are you guys hurt and you guys haven't played basketball since you didn't make the playoffs? Oh, I gotta go all the way back. We gotta go back, look, April, right? Early April, and their season stopped a long time ago. Joel Embiid played what, 13 games this year, 14 games? It wasn't much.
Well, yeah,
how
he was done by mid February.
How are you in that bad of shape that you're already you still recovered? The knee surgery did what?
Is it a question of Joel Embiid being kind of done with the Sixers?
That's a great way to look at it. Go ahead, James.
You know, like, is that where we're at in terms of talking about this process, you know, so to speak? I mean, I remember years ago, what was it back in, gosh, feels like almost 10 years ago that we were talking about, you know, the process, right? Yeah, quite literally. Joel Embiid was what, drafted in 2014, not mistaken, right? Yeah. And then at that point, a few years later, it was like the whole process. And I'm thinking to myself, we're almost a decade into this process thing. And it's like, well, how long is this trusting the process going to last? Because clearly it hasn't worked out with Ben Simmons, right? Markelle Fultz and all that. And then you got Joel Embiid, who's kind of like that final piece of the process. But at least, is the process them, or is the process kind of like this time period that we've put this team in a box? Like, this team has quite literally labeled themselves as the process. That's their entire identity.
Well, hold on, James, because when the process been that first playoff run where they lost with Robert Covington, you guys don't talk about when they go to Boston and they get
– But where's it end, though? you know,
there. That, but that the moment to me, the idea of the process was getting back to the playoffs, right? The idea of the process was becoming relevant again. You guys did that. The process is dead. I don't want to hear this no more. You're not wrong. I think, James, you put the process in a box in the era of you made it a reason for us to come to games. I mean, half the people on the process team aren't here no more. He's like the last one, I believe.
That's what I mean, the last link.
Yeah. The last one. So you can't be – see, that would be two-faced as hell to say you're done with the city, right? Because why would you sign that? I mean, I grant it, $150 million is hard to turn down. But if you hate a place, are you really turning that place money down? I mean, I've seen people get extensions and just leave right after that. Yeah. So I'm gonna just I'll say this. Regardless of what it is, it's unacceptable. However you want to look at it, James, it can't happen.
Well, I don't want to go too much on a rant about the Sixers because I know this is about Joel Embiid. But I'd really like to say kind of that – identity of the process. It's like that he is the final link to that puzzle, right? And on top of that, like him, I don't know. It's just, you're right. He plays in the Olympics and then he comes back to the team. He's getting paid multi-$1 million, you know, $1 million deal. And he just kind of reminds me, not even reminds me, he's looking like what Zion Williamson, you know what I mean? Just like fat and out of shape. It's like, dude, what are you doing? Are you playing basketball? Are you know, you want to sit on your couch eating potato chips? Like, you know, it's like, where do we draw the line with giving him so much benefit of the doubt? He's a fantastic player, phenomenal superstar, but like the lack of leadership. Like, I always felt like he had all the talent in the world, but he wasn't a natural born leader. And that's the problem that the Sixers team is facing, is that Joel Embiid, and I'm going to say it right here, right now, he's not a leader. He presents himself like he wants to be, but he's not. They don't have that. And they can, and you know, I'm gonna go on a rant even more and say the Sixers continue to go out and find washed up talent. Like paying Paul George. Why? You gotta go younger. Besides Tyrese Maxey and going younger with the rookie. I'm sorry, I'm totally forgetting his name. Thank you. But you know what I mean? Like, he's drawing comparisons to a young Dwayne Wade, which is great, and hopefully that pans out that way. But they had this kind of mentality of going out and getting almost like a washed up or on the brink of being washed up, like, you know, old, like an older James Harden and now an older Paul George. Like, they're not who they used to be, trying to compliment Joel Embiid. And to me, it's just like, I like the way they're moving in the direction of going towards the draft opposed to just trying to get that, you know, washed up superstar. And no discredit to them. They're great basketball players with a lot of veteran experience. And I'm not going to discredit that one bit. But, like, you got to think it's a young man's game. So, you know, that's kind of where I'm at. And in terms of Joel Embiid, the last thing I'll say about this is I would love to see him take on that more of a leadership role, but I don't know where that comes into play at this point in his career.
Well, I think that's gone. The opportunity's gone. The opportunity left the window when Tyrese Maxey had to call you out for your efforts and you showing up late to meetings. You're the star of the show. Not trying to quote one of our favorite professors, but you're the star of the show.
Yeah.
It starts with you and it ends with you. Look how far this team went without you. Look how far this team goes with you. When you're healthy, you are arguably the best big man in the NBA. I know I can't make that comparison after what we've seen from Jokic, but still, the best dominant big man.
I mean, he's top, you know, top two. And, at times he's number one. And some days he's not.
Some days he's not. But here's the thing, though, right? James, you touched on a valid point. The lack of leadership. The lack of leadership is what, like, you, everybody looks up to you. You are that guy. When Ben Simmons was here, you could say, well, is it Ben? It was always your team, dude. It was, we always looked at you. Like, whenever, I use this analogy or just a lot, and I say, you guys remember when Ben Simmons passed the dunk? And he gave it to Thibault, and Thibault gets fouled and ultimately misses both free. And they're going to lose, right? The reason why that play was so impactful for Joel Embiid's career was because that was actually the first summer that Sixers fans and the media collectively agreed that that was not Joel Embiid's fault, that entire playoff run. That was all Ben Simmons' fault. Ben Simmons didn't show up. Ben Simmons didn't do this. So Ben Simmons took the heat and got the hell out of the city, all right? You know, and now look at Ben Simmons now. He barely plays. So I say that to say that if you're a guy in Ben Simmons, or not Ben Simmons, sorry. If you're going to Joel Embiid, what else does this team need to give you? They barely let you play back-to-backs. You get to miss any game you want. Selfishness, James. You talk about leader. I talk about selfishness. I talk about ever since that MVP year, which those 2 years, the year where he should have won, and everybody goes on, well, I didn't win. This isn't right. And then he goes next year. Those are those best 2 years he's had as a Sixer. And I'm talking like from just being on the floor and being there. That shows that you was only in it for MVP. I have, you know, news for you. MVPs are easily to be forgotten because there's a new one every year. But what I will say, though, is if you're a Joel Embiid, you have to give more of a damn. You have to want to be here. You have to show the will to want to play. Paul George, James, goes on a podcast and said, well, me and the big fella want to be there. I don't believe you.
Yeah, do you, though?
I don't. I really don't. Paul George, I understand. You talk about age. You're right. You shouldn't give Paul George that money. That should have went somewhere else. You should have went somewhere else. You should have invested it somewhere else. Any other way you could have. There's better options out there that year. I think so. If not, I would have held my money for this year. But Paul George, first team all ambulance, as I like to call him. I mean, you saw my list from last time we got here, James. First team all ambulance. All right, headliner. But the reason why I say that, and I don't mean to be disrespectful, but like the dude hasn't had it ever since he dragged the Clippers to the Western Conference Finals. He hasn't done much. And it's not Oklahoma. Like you, and as you get older, and James, you know this, you know, you have some years on me, not many, but you have some.
On my back out today.
You know, and this jump into the top look got some years on me as well. You guys know the older you get, things don't get easier. It gets harder to do. Harder to do day-to-day tasks. Things that you know, little bumps and things you were able to take and shake off, they hurt a little more. And the problem I have with it is that you're not getting any younger, and you're talking about, I want to be here. It's hard for me to believe that when you sit on a damn podcast. It's hard for me to believe that. It's hard for me to believe that Joel Embiid is trying to do everything on and he's still hurt. But, yeah, you could show up to the damn soccer thing and show up to the damn, what was it, the Phillies thing a little while. He's been around Philly everywhere but where I want him to be, which is in the damn gym. BJ Escombe got drafted the day and went to the gym the next day. James, you're a gymaholic. You know how that when you want to be there, you want to be there. People just like, damn, I gotta go.
Yeah,
he was there all summer. Like, I mean, yo, people are getting work and you're not. You're doing everything but that. If you're hurt, I understand. But I'm gonna just, and James, I'll let you go. If someone's hurt, you don't see them out in public a lot, right?
I was gonna say, you made an excellent point. Like you quite literally just said, if you want to be there, you're not gonna be on a podcast, right? Or if you are, you're not gonna be sitting there defending yourself, saying, yep. Oh, I want to be here. I want to be here. Well, oh wait, actions speak louder than words.
Yep.
Right? Like you just said, with me being in the gym, like I put in the time and the effort. I'm no professional athlete, but I'm still putting the work into my craft and trying to build myself and you know, my body every day because I think it's important.
Yep.
Key word there, and I think it's important. Right, I'm not over here on a podcast. I mean, okay, I'm on a podcast.
Well, you are.
You know what I mean? Like,
I'm not saying,
you know, trying to defend myself, saying, "Yo, look, like, oh, I want to be here. I think it's important." No, I'm going out there. I'm going to show you. Like, you're going to see it. I'm not in the limelight like these guys are.
No.
Right. So that's the difference here. Is I'm not publicly stating what I'm doing. I'm out there going and doing it. But this isn't about me. This is about Paul George and Joel Embiid. I just think that the way that the Sixers are moving, they're kind of in a weird middle ground here where they have their young talent in Tyrese Maxey. And again, I don't know his name. I know it's Victor, right?
VJ Edgecombe, yeah.
Thank you. I just don't know how to pronounce the last name. But with that being said, that's a great direction. And some of the other younger pieces, which I love. That's great. Like Quentin Grimes. I love Grimes. I think he's a great player. Like kind of like a Swiss Army knife in my eyes. But we can talk more about that
when our basketball season last year.
100%. But I think that it's a weird middle ground where you have kind of these couple guys that are moving towards the end. And I'm not going to say Joel Embiid's at the end of his career. That's not true. Guys are playing longer and, you know, longevity is a thing. But obviously with injuries, that may not be the case.
Can I ask you a question?
Go ahead.
Because the man's in his prime. The man's 30. That's like your best time of basketball. Like you're transitioning to like your play's gonna start declining. If he can't walk, what the hell are we doing here?
Yeah, you can't play basketball, that's for sure.
But I'm serious. Like, yo, seriously. Like, this is a guy that's only 30.
Yeah.
Not to put you guys out there, but you know what I'm saying? But, like, this is a guy that's almost 30. Like, yeah. Yo. Huh? Go ahead, John.
No, I totally agree. I don't have any objections to what's being said.
I'm just saying, like, yo, you're 30 and you're having like problems with someone that's in like their late 50s who can't, like, you're struggling to walk.
Look, like, don't look at inside like entitlement with Joel Embiid. I'm sorry not to cut you off, but
that's not wrong either.
It's right. Wrong, like, either. You know what I mean? Like, oh, I'm so good. I'm a great basketball player. I've been here on this team since I was drafted over 10 years ago. But it's like, well, it comes down to, I got three things that really come to mind. I think we touched on it this entire segment thus far, and I believe it's age, entitlement, and health, which ties into age too. But I just think that, lack of leadership.
There you go.
Like that's my thing. And it's like, as an older veteran player who has been a superstar in this league for years, it's like, show up. Like, that's what it comes down to. Show up, show that you're interested, to show that you want to be here and help the younger guys and create that. And the biggest thing that the Philadelphia Eagles do that the Sixers could take a page from their book is culture. There's a lack of culture on the Philadelphia 76ers.
Excellent
point. Seriously needs to be addressed.
I think also, when you think about, like, just the Sixers as a whole and just everything that they do and everything around, like, that's surrounded around them or surrounded by them, they let him in. This is how I look at it. Joel Embiid is not a superstar. He is what Kevin Durant is. You know what Kevin Durant is? Kevin Durant's not a leader. Kevin Durant's a basketball player. Kevin Durant shows up and hoops. But he wants to play basketball. You know what Joel Embiid is? Joel Embiid is a poor man's Kevin Durant because he's trying to move like he has that motion. You don't even show up to play basketball. You are a superstar because of your – I mean, James, you said it. When healthy, 1-2. Top 1-2 center in the NBA. Like, that's it. But your mentality towards things, it sucks. It absolutely sucks. Your dieting sucks. It did before. You guys remember a couple years ago, right before like a playoff game, important game versus Boston, he was over there getting them. Inside the NBA, long live inside the NBA. ESPN is probably going to fuck it over this year, so I'm not excited. I'm not looking forward to that. But inside the NBA, we're talking about how Joel Embiid was getting a foot massage, eating a Chick-fil-A sandwich on the side of the court. Now, the reason why, to us, it's like, okay, whatever. But, like, yo, that spoke volumes. And the fact that we decided and Philly rewarded bad behavior. You remember this? Remember the stuff they were talking about and with the Clippers with Kawhi? Kawhi lived in San Diego. Kawhi wouldn't be there on time for playing on games. Kawhi barely played. Look how far that team went with him, without him. They went further without him than they did with him. Not saying that Kawhi Leonard is not all world. Hell, I have a friend that she would kill me if she heard me even utter these words. More of the point is, not wrong. Culture, not there. All right. Leadership, damn sure not there. And the scary thing is, and I'll leave it on this one, because of his injury history and because of the age, can't move him. Who's going to take that? I mean, the Lakers take anybody. They're like, you know, they're...
I mean, somebody would take him, but... I mean,
yeah, but like, but you're, you got him 2 years ago, you've been good.
Yeah, I mean, I just think the biggest thing that I've struggled to kind of contemplate is the how you build around a guy like Joel Embiid who... Like, it's not like Jokic where he passes the ball out. You know what I mean? Like, he is the guy, but he's a center. So he slows the whole offense down because you have to play within his, you know, his strengths, which is slowing the game down, post up and driving towards the basket or posting up and then doing a shimmy shake, you know, like shot. But it slows everybody else down. So, like, it's hard for me. Like, I said it years ago with Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons is a 6'10 point guard, and Joel Embiid is a, what, 7'1, 7'2 center? You could have done a pick and roll alley-oop every single play and was successful. But they never did that once. I never saw them do it at all. And it just made me think, like, why not? Wouldn't that be such a gimme? And it just makes me think, like, they've tried. Like, this whole trusted process has been trying to figure out who complements Joel Embiid the best. And they're trying to figure that out. And they've been doing it for damn near 10 years, almost over 10 years. Wow. They still haven't been able to figure it out.
Well, James,
maybe Maxie, that's about it.
Well, James, I'm going to use you where I'm trying to contemplate if I want to go to a damn game this year or not, because I don't know.
Yeah, right.
I don't know.
You just get out of the house, right?
You just go for background noise.
Yeah, I'm just gonna go there and yell.
Listen, I go to the Sixers games for three reasons. Food. Well, I mean, everything's expensive. So if you're not sending a suite, I go for food. If you're sending a suite, I go for food. I go for the music. And pretty women like basketball. So that's what I'm going to say. I ain't going for the team no more. I stopped going for the team. One thing that I will say, James, to end it. This veteran leadership is gonna ruin the young core, because they just gotta go. You just gotta let them go. Get draft picks. Do the Oklahoma City Thunder way. Get what you can get. Dump them all. Get cap space off. Develop the young guys. Let's see what Justin Edwards. I like what Justin Edwards is gonna be nice. I like. He just got lost in the Kentucky system. I also like Jared McCain. I love VJ Edson. VJ Edson is gonna be a dog. And then you got the new guy. From Auburn, the backup center, blanking on his name. Because my thing is, it's going to be, I'd rather you advertise and say, hey, Joel Embiid's not playing, Paul George isn't playing, but this is what we have. Sixers fans, we're going to suck, but be behind us.
They got a good young core that they're developing. They do. I mean, I think that's why they're in a weird middle spot. Because of having Paul George and Joel Embiid, who are they're veterans. They're doing whatever they're doing, but they have these young core of guys, like you said, McCain, Grimes, and some of those other guys who they've gotten the last few years. And again, last thing I'll say about this, they're just in that weird middle ground where they're trying to figure it out. And I think that's where they're kind of moving. I mean, they're going to be moving in a better direction. It's just not right now.
Yes,
this will be a pivotal year to decide to really figure out what they're going to be moving forward.
And don't fire Nick Nurse because of this shit either. He doesn't deserve it.
Well, we could talk about Tom Thibodeau and the Knicks, and they shouldn't have fired him, but that's a whole conversation.
And I feel like that was kind of coming just a little bit. Only because the same reason why you didn't win was the same reason why you didn't win the year before is, dude, your bench actually put you in some games. Mm. And your failure to use your bench, they should have beat the Pacers. I'm sorry. But they should have beat. I think they were the better team. They had to, but the Pacers were the world, or they have fresher legs. But that's for later. The NBA is coming back.
Let's get into all that.
Yeah. The Sixers got, listen, y'all.
Sixers got to figure it out. Culture's got to be brought. Leadership has to be there. We'll see what happens, boys.
I'm tired of Daryl Morey on top of it because I'm tired of this shit, too.
Part of the process. Move on.
All right, everything. Ain't no, so the process of tearing this team down. Let's talk about that process. But let's move on to the more pivotal team. Not so much really on them. I did get a chance to go. We did get a chance to go to the open practice, James. Landon Dickerson did not, I think it was hurt his meniscus. He did get surgery. He was already back on the field. Field sharing beers with a couple of the teammates just today. So looks like he'll be back for week one, if not maybe week two, but it's Dallas. But I want to say Shedeur Sanders shined in preseason game one. I think he had two touchdown passes. Ultimately was honestly the best quarterback today. When asked about his performance, he said he thought he graded himself a B, thought he could do a little bit better. Honestly, he played phenomenal, but the media ridicule was everything the man says. So I would just downplay myself as well. He is not going to play against Philadelphia this weekend due to a oblique injury. The Browns are in town again. It's like a yearly thing. The Browns and Eagles face off. Jalen Hurts took time to give Shedeur Sanders a ride in a golf cart and have an intimate conversation. Don't know if I would use intimate, but yeah, intimate conversation.
Give a little mentoring.
Which is great on one's part. Game is this Saturday as well. These two gentlemen, I don't know if there will be a post game to be determined
between. Yeah, TBD is right now.
All right, they did a phenomenal job last time, so give it up for these two. But
James killed it, man.
I'm not here for the damn Eagles. Fly, Eagles, fly. We look good. Damn, I saw some things I like.
There were a lot of positives to take.
It's still preseason. I'm not gonna sit here and lose my shit. But I will say though, Jahi Campbell is massive. I feel bad for anyone on the other side of that. He is massive. I do feel bad. But to the person that is on the other side of that, to our division rivalry, the week one opponents, the Dallas Cowboys, everything but football is happening in Dallas. Your owner is going on a first off, I want to say before I destroy Jerry Jones, I want to say congratulations on beating a 10-year battle with cancer. That was great to hear that that report came out that he beat his cancer. But along his media tour, yeah, Jerry's back up to Jerry's ways again, talk about how I'm not going to play some players and your contract ties into success and all this yada yada. Listen, I'm not going to sit and try to read quotes because the man said a lot because he's on a media tour. But I will say, if I'm a Cowboys fan, this is not what I want to hear. You're beefing with your owner is beefing with your star edge rusher, your only defensive player. And he knocked him. Get this. Michael Parsons, since starting his career, and I'm just going on a limb here because I was looking, I couldn't find this. So if anyone wants to check me on this, by all means. Michael Parsons, in his couple years career, because he played in there for what, 4 years, 4 or 5 years now? Yeah. Michael Parsons has barely missed that many games, if to little to any, to my knowledge. Correct. Not only that, Michael Parsons is the only one in from his draft class in the top 10 that hasn't got paid yet, or from the top 12 that hasn't gotten paid yet. Devonta Smith got his, Jalen Waddle got his, Jamar Chase got his. You got, I think, the Tua to get the bag, right?
Tua got a bag,
yeah. I think they gave Herbert a bag. So my point is, I know Jason, I know Surtain got bags. He's the one that doesn't have one. Now, the one thing I will say, if you there's many ways to look at this, Michael Parsons is arguably, I mean, you think of edge rushers and you can go through the name. I know you get the TJ Watt and you go to Nick Bosa, but Michael Parsons ain't far off from those names at all. He is a game-changing, record-firing player. The fact that you're not paying him, and then you're using an injury history. If you were to say against Trayvon Diggs, I would understand. If you were to say that against anyone else, I understand. But to someone that's been the heart and soul of your defense the past couple years, who's been there every day in and day out and has given everything his all, other than, you know, sometimes like gave up, I don't know. I don't like none of this going on. And I will say it is a little funny to think that Dak Prescott's contract cap hit is 60 something million for this year, which if you look at the Eagles, that's Devonta Smith, AJ Brown, and Jalen Hurts on one salary cap. And also too, Don, we talked earlier today on the phone, we talked about a lot of things on the phone, but we talked about the negotiation, right, and contracts and stuff, and how everything's just a contract game, right? Jerry Jones puts himself in these, I don't want to say he puts himself in these boxes where it's pay me or I'm not playing situations.
Well, what I don't like is
he got paid as well.
Jerry Jones, I mean, being the owner, he just like flings his power around, you know, like he's not like for the players. Like we've seen Jeffrey Lurie with the Eagles. And again, I'm biased. Of course I am. But I mean, it doesn't take a rocket science to figure out that he's flinging his power around, you know, like a dictator. And it just, it baffles me because you're arguing with your, you know, arguably your best player. I mean, you know, side people argue Dak Prescott, but he's not a winner. Dak's not a winner. It's plain and simple. He doesn't show up in big moments, right? So given that information, Micah Parsons, the fact that he hasn't been paid yet and Jerry Jones is quite literally throwing a hissy fit and giving these reasons why is, and it's like a negotiating war, is just, it just baffles my mind. It's like, why you don't care about your star player's happiness? Like, didn't Micah Parsons request a trade? Like, quite literally requested a trade. Like, that is insane to me. Like, pay the man. Because he's on your defensive front. He's your star edge rusher. Like, what the heck is going on? And, again, this is Cowboy see, Cowboy do. It's just become what they've been about the last, you know, as far as I've known. It just seems like they've just – that's their identity. And Jerry Jones literally has created that.
Absolutely. James, you make a really good point. You know, listen, win, lose, or draw, or however you feel about them, the Dallas Cowboys are one of the foremost brands in professional sports. And that's how Jerry Jones operates. That's how Jerry Jones views it. As long as our brand is relevant, whether it is for better or for worse, that is a success. And that being said, I believe that he is treating this situation the way it is because I think the writing is on the wall in terms of what the football team is this year, whether Micah Parsons is on or not on the field. This is not going to be a good football team. You have the reigning Super Bowl champion and the NFC runner-up in your division. You basically have to beat teams through volume passing, which is very hard to do in this league when you have the type of roster that they have. Now, I'll say this. You know, they build he does a good job of having a good roster on paper, but that only gets you but so far. And the more and more that this situation's unfolded, it's just gone to show that he, as an owner, really values the entertainment aspect of this league and the drama side of this league. He, you know, the NFC East is going to have the in-season Hard Knocks this year. They're going to eat that right up. Now, from a fan standpoint, from an organizational standpoint, yeah, that's kind of embarrassing. But the Dallas Cowboys have gone to show that despite all of this, they can still remain afloat. And I'm not talking about, once again, I'm not talking about wins or losses. I'm talking about this from a brand standpoint. That's how Jerry Jones is viewing this. That's how his son is going to view this. I was listening to a podcast the other day, and they talked about the It wasn't us, unfortunately, but it's about to be, because I'm gonna drop this. They talked about Jerry Jones's regression as an owner, and Jerry, you know, people forget Jerry Jones built a dynasty, but that was pre-salary cap. That was the pre-salary cap era. Jerry Jones was a spender in the 90s, and then once the salary cap came in, he made a significant adjustment, and now we're here. So this situation is not good if you're the Dallas Cowboys. Personally, when this news first broke, I looked at it as I buy everything that's going on. There has been some stuff that's come out in the last couple of weeks that's pointed towards this also could be, you know, just smoke and mirrors, and they will eventually get a deal done. But this is just the BS that the Dallas Cowboys are going through. I think, which I'm kind of torn on, but I also look at Micah Parsons and whether he stays in Dallas or whether he goes somewhere else, that is going to be a huge organizational risk because you are going to be paying one of the largest contracts in NFL history. You're talking about $160 to $170 million a year. The Dallas Cowboys are going to be willing to give that money to somebody. I don't know if that's going to be him. I don't know if they're going to repair anything. I don't even know what's true and what's not true at this point. I know is that the Dallas Cowboys right now care more about entertainment than they do football.
Well, they didn't care about wins. He's more of an owner than he is a manager. You know, he owns the team, 100%. But he's terrible at managing players 100%. And keeping them happy, right? And paying the guys you need to. But anyway, Gavin, go ahead.
Well, no, but to Don's point, like, and to honest the book of points, like, Jerry Jones is like, think about this, guys. The Cowboys is the only NFL team, franchise, whatever the hell you want to call them, that you could buy apartments next to where they practice. Hold on. Not to mention, then we at home, right? Then we at home in our own practice, our home. I'm talking about back in Arlington, Texas. We at home doing fucking private tours. Like, you care. Listen, Jerry Jones is a great businessman, and he did a great job. This is what he wants. He wants us talking about it. This is his goal. This is all he cares about. As long as the Dallas Cowboys is in somebody's mouth by the end of the night, or it was talked about through somebody. I'm going to be honest, fellas. I think after this, we all should, you know, rinse our mouths out with soap because I don't want to talk about this catastrophe of a team. I feel like I'm getting sick already just mentioning them. But I will say, though, Jerry Jones, to the talks about Michael Parsons getting a new deal, I just pulled up a quote over here that said, Jerry Jones says, Cowboys have no deadline to extend Michael Parsons. He said, also, Jerry Jones on what's preventing Parsons talks, he says nothing. He doesn't want to. Simple.
He just wants to drag it out. The longer this goes, the more we talk.
Okay,
publicity. It's all a bunch of bullshit. Like, it's just smoke and mirrors bullshit. They just want, like you said, Gavin, They just want us talking about them to get as much publicity. It's an entertainment publicity stunt. And everybody's talking about them. You got First Take talking about them. You got ESPN talking about them. You got us talking about them. Right. I mean, that's the goal. That's what they've done. The business, the brand. He's a fantastic business owner. But from a football standpoint, he doesn't know how to manage a football team. The guys want to get paid because they're putting their bodies out on the line. Around on the line. They want to get paid, understandably so. Micah Parsons deserves it, but he doesn't deserve the bullshit that Jerry Jones is putting him through. All bias aside, like if I were a Dallas Cowboy and Jerry Jones was my owner, I'd be like, what the fuck are you doing? Pay me, you old man. You know what I mean? Like, sorry, but that's how I'd feel. Quite literally. Sorry to get all crazy about that and provocative, whatever. But like that's where my head would be at. I'd be like, what are you doing? You know, like this is ridiculous. Like, I just want to go out and play football.
Well, okay, but that point right there, right? You talk about him as an owner, talking like guys, Jerry Jones does this to himself. You know that I know Stephen A goes on First Take and he says, well, can go wrong, real go wrong with Dallas. He put himself in cap hell. You go back and forth with these people, with these players, and you're not going back and forth with right tackle with somebody just like, nope, like you're going back and forth with like your stars. Dak Prescott, you should have picked. If you think about this, guys, think about this. Ready? Think about this. Think about this. If Dak Prescott doesn't injure his ankle like he did, right? And if you paid him before that injury, that price tag, because the media, and I'm one of them, I'm not media, but I was one of these people. I was like, that's fucked up. Like, man, the man might not be able to play football again, and you ain't pay him. Like I was on this side. So guess what? You could say that the media bullied him into this Dak Prescott deal. And also, too, then not again. Then it's like, all right. People's like, well, Dak Prescott's a restructure. Why should I? You didn't want to pay me. I almost lost my whole entire career. Why should I? Matter of fact, add on to it. And they did. And now his price tag this year is $60 million. Next year is going to be $70 million. You can't bring no one in to do that and to pay. We all knew you were going to pay CeeDee Lamb and Micah Parsons at some point. Someone has to catch the ball for Dak Prescott. Somebody has to catch it. All right, you pick CeeDee Lamb. Kind of wish he ain't pay. I like CeeDee Lamb. I kind of wish he went somewhere else. But you paid him. Someone was going to be left out, and y'all chose the edge rusher, and unfortunately you chose the important, like all three people are important. I know their deck is a lot of hate. You're right, James, he doesn't show up in big moments, but like you can, I mean, stick a talented rush behind it. I mean stick Cooper Rush behind this shit and see what happens again.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, it just, it all comes down to culture, and it just seems like the Dallas Cowboys have created a clown show.
It's all
about a publicity opposed to winning football games. And that's why I continuously harp on culture and what different teams are doing around the league and what they're building. And aside from the brand, it's like you're playing a sport. This is football, right? Yeah. This isn't like Broadway, right? Where you're putting on a show on a stage. You are to an extent, but it's still at the end of the day, they're playing football. Manage your football players and do it right. You know, like that, like you don't see Jeffrey Lurie out there, you know, creating this again. And before Dom went off of this, but I want to say this. Shoot, I lost my train of thought. Gosh darn it.
You're good.
But essentially, it's like it just baffles me that. Oh, thank you. Jeffrey Lurie doesn't go out and strive to, you know, create drama. Oh, it's like middle school drama. That's essentially how I have thought about this entire situation. It's just drama, and it's way over dramatic. You don't see other owners doing this. Nope. Jerry Jones is the only one in the entire league who publicly goes out and is fighting with his superstar players, which is laughable. And again, I know we have reiterated this point over and over that he's getting people talking about the Dallas Cowboys, which is fine, but that's their only source of being relevant. That's it. They don't win the football games, right? They may win like a primetime game throughout the season, but other than that, maybe I'm just saying that. I'm just smoking mirrors. I'm giving them some sort of credit.
No, but seriously, that's what, like, dude, like, It's the same, but it's the same thing every year. Like I never like you brought Thibodeau, right? Thibodeau. I'm gonna bring basketball into this conversation. You brought Thibodeau. Thibodeau got fired because he didn't use his bench again. And the two games he used his bench, the bench won that game, won those games, right? So you look at Jerry Jones and you say, yo, you didn't get ahead. Like the one thing that the organization like Eagles and to Don's point about like, you know, declining as an owner and just as like and he was never really a good GM. You wait to the last minute to want to pay these people. Look at Ezekiel Elliott. Remember that Ezekiel Elliott bullied his way to that money and then he was washed after that because he like the one thing the Eagles do right is that they get on top of contracts early. Saquon Barkley just was here, and then they already extended him, or they gave him an extension, or they did something to his deal. And they're like, "Why the hell would you do it now?" Because you got on top of it before the asking price got too big.
Yep.
You reward honestly, but also too, Saquon Barkley might not have been a great one, but you reward after a great year too.
But you also, and I'm just gonna say this before I lose my train of thought on that. Is not only did you jump on it, but you jumped on it before Saquon was only thinking about money.
Yeah.
You jumped on it when he was thinking about team and thinking about the culture and wanting to be here. Because, you know what I mean? Because a lot of these guys, when
that's it's nice contract,
all they're that's thinking nice. About is the money. Whereas Saquon, he's not thinking about the money. He was already paid. You know, he was 1 year into his 3-year deal. And now you extended him another, 3 years, right? Like they got on top of it early, paid him before you said the asking price went too high. And before Saquon was only thinking about the money and he was thinking about wanting to stay in Philadelphia to win more championships. So that's where that went. And that's what the Eagles do way better than I'd say any team in the league at this point in time, aside from just the Cowboys.
For sure. For sure. I would say, though, to just kind of open it up to like, because there's other situations going on in NFL, but notice how like all the other situations in NFL, outside of maybe the Dallas, maybe you could say the Cincinnati Bengals one is pretty bad. Because your
situation.
That's a weird situation there. Because like now your rookie edge rusher shows up, and he gets blocked into Joe Burrow. They say he hit him. I think he got blocked into him. James, I don't know if you saw the clip or not. And a scuffle breaks out. While your best defensive player on a shitty defense, still like yo, I would like that. Like that's arguably as bad. But as I'm talking about this. It's still not as bad as Dallas because how open owners. I never in my life seen an NFL owner. You know, think about this, James. What owner holds a press conference after every win and loss? Think about after every win and loss, Jerry Jones has 20 cameras in his face. Now, guys, back up. He's old and delicate, so don't get too close. He might, fragile. But what I'm trying to say is, that Jeffrey Lurie doesn't do that.
Yeah.
The second time I heard Jeffrey Lurie was a Super Bowl, and he said like all but like two, three words.
Yeah, it's just there's just a different energy, and again, it comes down to the culture that different owners. And I don't want to just talk about the Birds because I know that it creates too much of a sense of bias, and I know we have that bias given the fact that we're Eagles fans. But I think just like the other 30 teams besides the Eagles and the Cowboys. Like, other owners don't do that. They don't create this sense of drama. Like I said, middle school drama that the Cowboys have created. Jerry Jones has created for himself and the entire organization that he continues to drag on and on and on, which is why I mentioned this seems to be their only sense of relevancy. So I don't know what to say on it other than the fact that it.
It's
keep the ball rolling. Please, by all means, keep being the laughing stock.
Oh, of course.
I'm cool with that.
It's the fact that we're 3 weeks away from football season, three, four weeks away from football season, and we're talking about the Cowboys not getting ready for the season, but internal battle. I feel like we said that once.
Getting ready for Broadway.
Keeping up with the Cowboys.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Instead of keeping up with the
Cardinals. Yeah, the Cardinals keeping up with the Cowboys. The Jerrys. I never saw
you ever, the you Joneses. Ever,
the Jones. you ever seen like the soap operas, like the daytime soap operas?
Yep.
You ever seen you ever they heard them on my work. Huh?
They have them on in my work.
Hey, that's a good one. Next one's gonna be called How the Cowboys Turn. Because they don't know. We'll know.
Right. So,
but we'll be here to cover it all, and just honestly everything about the football world. Real quick, I do want to mention CJ Gardner Johnson did go down. What thought was an ACL injury wasn't ACL still intact, so he'll probably be out a certain period of time, but maybe a good to go a little bit after week one. So wait to see. Landon Dickerson, like I said, yep. Landon Dickerson as well. You know, went down, had the surgery already, which is pretty quick turnaround, and was on the field giving out beers today. So all of this to go will be Landon Dickerson will be back. As far as AJ Brown with the hamstring, he did practice on Sunday lightly, did not really use him too much. And trying to think of anything else going on around the world. I mean, around the world, there's things going around the world, but around the NFL. Terry McLaurin is still requesting a trade, and he still doesn't have a deal, so that is interesting as well. The Miami Dolphins are having issues in the secondary as they're losing players to injuries. And Matthew Stafford is gearing up for his return while Davante Adams continues to impress in camp with backups. So that is all for the NFL. Like I said, we're going to touch on to more college football included. But James, there's something I want to talk about now. I was kind of hoping that this gentleman's here. He no Pat today. Pat is off day. But I wanted to ask, James, we talk about the four powers of sports. And I was thinking about this today. We talk about how the NFL, the NBA, and the MLB are all like the strong access powers in America for sports. And then the fourth sport is NHL, so it should be. But then you have the MLS just because Messi and his growing attention. So I thought to myself, I said, how the hell can a sport in like the MLS that's kind of starting to get its traction over like the last couple years be more popular than hockey? Why is hockey not getting acknowledged and talked about as it should be? Hockey does some pretty cool shit. I mean, the Four Nations, James, I don't know if you saw, but that was cool. That was cool. And then, like, there's just the playoffs runs and all that. I was sitting back and thinking to myself, like, we were talking about, like, how, and a little, maybe two pods ago, how people rather watch the Savannah Bananas over than WNBA. So this is a similar conversation, but I'm going to use more like an access power sport, hockey. Which is, why are people not talking about hockey? Why is it not getting that much national coverage like the other three sports do? And we even started talking about soccer more over hockey. But yet, every time someone watches a hockey club, they say, oh, this was awesome. This is amazing. We didn't know they were doing this. How? Like, how does the sport, like, so, Jenny, I'd like to go for it. Like, we the first thing that came to my mind was, like, yo, you know, you're battling with the NFL. And NBA, right? I don't know where, like, soccer is more of like a summer thing, summer sports. So they're on now. So you're only dealing with baseball. I don't understand why we don't talk about our acknowledged hockey as it should be.
Well, I think the biggest reason it all comes down to the fact it's target audience, and the reason why I say that is soccer, football, or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah,
is an international sport.
So is hockey.
It's starting to gain track. It is, but not as much as soccer.
Fair.
I mean, soccer is worldwide, right? It's arguably the most watched sport. It is the most watched sport in the world. Not in the United States, although it is gaining traction. It is the most watched sport in the entire world. So I would say it's target audience, and I would say I feel like because of that, with the World Cup coming to the United States next year, yeah, it's gaining a lot more traction, especially with guys like Lionel Messi. Yep. He's in Real Madrid and over in Spain, but Messi coming over to Inter Miami, and then I'm drawing a blank on his name, but he's also in Inter Miami.
You also got Andre Blake Philadelphia Union too. Andre Blake.
That's what I mean. So like the traction there, it's starting to become more popular, and the United States is finally starting to catch up, whereas hockey has been here for so long. It's been relevant, whereas it's kind of in this place that soccer is taking over in a lot of ways. And especially, I think the MLS is starting to gain more teams too. I mean, they've had some expansion teams. And with European players coming over more and more, it's just becoming more popular because of that. And I just think that it's just – that's the reason why. And as we know, especially being in media – it's all about the trend, right? So not to say that the MLS is just trending for now. I think United States as a whole, soccer or football, whatever, is starting to gain more traction, which is great to see because I played soccer growing up. So that was always my sport. So I love to see it because it's been long overdue, I think. They're finally starting to catch up with the world. Thank God. Well,
can I, to your soccer point, right?
Please.
James, the MLS issue before was you would have star talent leave and go play overseas and go to Europe and stuff. Now it's reverse psychology where like they're like, hey, because they also kind of look at the MLS as like a joke in a way. Like yo, like Messi's like what, like 30 something?
Late 30s. Score like hat tricks.
They throw like hat tricks. So it's good that like now they're like, hey, we want to play here. That's good. But I mean
the MLS is still a joke. I mean
but to your point, though,
world standpoint, it's still a joke in terms of talent.
Yeah.
You said Lionel Messi's 30-something years old. He's scoring hat tricks. Like that shouldn't be happening, right?
No.
Not to discredit him because he's the world's best player, arguably. You know what I mean? Like on that tier.
To whatever country you ask,
yeah. Well, you know what I mean. Like over the course of the season, with the one of the greatest. I mean, we got top one and two with Ronaldo and Messi over the last decade plus.
Neymar,
like at 30-something years old, he shouldn't be doing this. You know what I mean? Like if he was playing over in on Barcelona again, I don't know if he'd be putting up the same stats as he's doing in the MLS, just because of age, and not because of the talent, just because of age. But yeah, I just think that hockey's not talked about given the target audience, and I just think that the MLS is just starting to gain a little bit more traction. That's really about it.
So here's my thing, right? You're not wrong, but I'm going to bring it back in. To your point about the target audience, I think what gets sports talking is, you know, how much and it goes down to youth. How much does it start to play? Hockey has an expensive startup cost because you have to buy the, you know, the skates and the sticks and the pads and the helmet. And then, you know, then you got to find a club team and a travel team. And you're already looking like $2,000 in the hole. Same reason why my behind can't get on a damn golf course because damn golf clubs cost too much. And then you got to get a membership, as I digress. But because, you know, brothers, you know, James, I won't go out there. But to the target audience, though, is like, hockey is like kind of like the same way. Like I'll be honest, and I'm gonna put myself here in a different limb. Brothers don't really play hockey.
Yeah, I was gonna say that.
You talk about soccer being global. This is, you know, in countries and even Africa and South America and all over the world. You could pick up a ball and play anywhere. That is 100% right. I think being marketable to the youth and you go argue, and then to make it United States only, you're not really marketing to like the, I mean, there hasn't, to my knowledge, there hasn't been a really African-American hockey player, NHL player, to my knowledge. I could be wrong, but
there's definitely been African-American.
Yeah,
I don't know about African-American. There's been Canadian.
They're Canadian, but they're
Wayne Simmons was Canadian. Canadian black. So I don't know. Peter Subban was Canadian. I think there has been. No, there definitely has.
But it's not that many, though. So I think also, too, it's not pushed enough because the sport of hockey is a Canadian sport. I mean, ice lakes, all that stuff all around there, everything. Also, too, look at all the hockey greats and where they came from.
Yeah.
They come from there. Now, it doesn't help that the last 3-4 years, all right, James, the last three – couple years the champions have been in South Florida. It's hot as hell. How's the hockey team went down there? No state tech. But what I'm trying to say though is like just a general idea. I think we have to I mean hockey, you can look at it so many ways. It's not marketable to some neighborhoods in America just because startup costs. Now and people were like, dude, can you not put race in this? I mean I'll take it out if you would like. Just the startup costs alone. I mean even to play for my high school team, it was like damn near a thousand. And that's crazy. But they have cool ideas. They have like the, you know, the Winter Classic and the Four Nations. And then like the playoffs is never a draw. They make it more accessible. I think what would help hockey moving forward is that now that TNT doesn't air NBA games anymore, that should be a night. Just make TNT's NHL, whatever they call them, just make that the glorified hockey shit. Make that like just make that that. I don't know. I think hockey's on the up and coming. They got to keep the game fresh though. I think the lockout hurt them a long time ago. But oh no, I don't know, man. Hockey's a cool sport. I started watching this a couple years ago. But I think also too, between that and then the teams in like weird ass places too. Like it's hard to like, you know what I mean? Like it's like the games and like trying to keep up to watch some of these teams and all that. Like soccer and also too, like you're competing with like football. Like football, like things think about when hockey starts, football is in full swing, right?
Basketball.
Well, hockey and basketball, they're the same time. But like baseball ends World Series, football's in full swing. Then you're competing with NBA because NBA playoffs and that. If hockey was played from June to August, June to like kind of like on like a baseball schedule, like the WNBA schedule, where you're competing with baseball, and baseball is going to outrun you anyway because your sport. So like you're a shorter span. I think that will get the out to the masses. There's just so much stuff to watch during the year between college football and NFL and NBA and the World Series. You're not really paying attention to it, and it's a shame because hockey's a great sport. Soccer's part of a global movement. Everybody plays it.
I just think it's tough to compete with all these sports. You know what I mean?
It definitely is tough to compete with. Like, all right, kind of like you know.
So who do you devote your time to? You know what I mean?
That's why you have like designated days. Like you have like all right, like Tuesday hockey. Right. Thursday football. Like I don't know, but there's gotta be a way to do it. But hockey's gonna grow.
I mean, I think what helps hockey is the fact that they do play 82 game schedule and it is on during the week, whereas football is on I mean, granted, Monday, Thursday, Sunday.
How do you feel about that too, by the way, on a side note?
For
is football being played on like because you got Black Friday now. You got Black Friday game. They whenever Christmas falls on them, they throw a game or two. I hate football on Christmas, I'll be honest with you.
Not really.
I'm Dom will tell you. I know he's not here at the moment, but Dom will tell you I'm a basketball guy at heart.
Okay.
So NBA on Christmas Day, James. Listen.
Oh, that's fun.
Nothing's better than that.
Yeah. I agree. I always felt like football was more of a Thanksgiving kind of thing.
It is. And then like
finally, it's kind of weird. It's like, all right, enough. Like, I want to watch basketball. All right. Or there's always college basketball. So I'm like,
college basketball's on too. But just like that niche, like hockey does some cool shit. Like they're the only one that's consistently playing outside of these baseball stadiums and having winter classics and football stadiums and stuff. You know, Four Nations is a pretty cool idea. I don't know if they'll do it again next year or they'll switch the countries up. I mean, you have to have America and Canada always, you know. But I'm interested to see. Soccer is something that you can't be ignored, especially because they're expanding it. And also, too, just because the She Believes Cup and everything that, you know, the U.S. Women's National Team has done to grow the game of soccer here in America just for young women across the nation and even, you know, you can say young men as well, started to put soccer in the spotlight. Like maybe we have to somehow get hockey out to more people. Maybe we have to start going to neighborhoods to, you know, get brothers and sisters into hockey a little more. You know what I'm saying? I want to go to a Flyers game, James. I'd love to go this year. I think that'll be fun. But I think you just have to market a little bit better and find that niche and find that direct audience outside like mainstream for one works, you know, because I feel like NFL is global. There's NFL fans all over the place.
Yeah.
There's basketball fans all over the world, especially in Japan. Like they're like that's heavily basketball. Mm-hmm. And Japan and China. And then you have like, you know, baseball. You see the greatest baseball player out right now, Japanese, and then you have like the World Baseball Classic, and you know guys are continuously coming up from you know South America and the islands and stuff. Like it's cool. So all I'm gonna say is hockey will be fine, but we gotta start opening our eyes. We gotta start acknowledging that there's more people in this world than the ones you're marketing to. And James, soccer's on up and coming, and if they get another star.
It's kind of hard to ignore. I know it's huge all over the world, but. Definitely here in the United States with the World Cup, mind you, being here in the U.S., 2026, you know, that World Cup, I mean, I'm looking forward to it. I'm trying to get tickets to, I don't know what game is going to be played at the link, but I want to go.
I just want to watch the matches.
I just want to go and just experience what it's like to go to a World Cup game. So, like, that's a huge thing that brings tourists, that brings attraction, that brings a lot of fun. That will definitely spring the world of soccer progressively more forward for the U.S., given that the World Cup will be here in less than a year.
People went crazy over the club championship stuff.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
Yeah, and that was just like...
So I think both sports, you know, again, soccer, they're doing their thing. I think hockey, their branding along with the target audience needs to be adjusted. It's a hard thing to do given the fact that it's played in mostly northern places where it is cold. Right, like you're not getting a whole lot of that.
You know, I like how you nailed that point home, but yet Tampa Bay Lightning and Florida Panthers.
Well, I know, but that's also professional hockey. You know what I mean? That's not like
You're right. Yeah, yeah. There's not that many ice rinks in Florida. I get it.
Like, and you're not getting snow in Florida, so it's like, we're gonna go play hockey. Like, you know, that's not huge down there. You know, maybe roller hockey, but ice hockey, like, you know, you're not playing hockey outdoors because it's just not cold enough. And that's why. I mean, that's where, unfortunately, hockey is at a disadvantage, just given the upbringing and who's playing it at an early age, you know, and the statistics don't lie about who's playing at an early age. So it is what it is. You know, the NHL is doing a better job of marketing their players and marketing the teams, and the branding is getting better. And obviously, like you said, with the four nations and obviously the hockey, the World Classic, like that's great. That's awesome. It's just the upbringing is hard and no discredit, but
fortunately
environment does play a huge part in what, you know, what people are doing. So, you know, that's that. But hopefully they can gain more traction because hockey is an incredible sport.
Definitely is. I enjoy it. We'll have to do a sit along this year.
Absolutely.
With that being said, not to hold this man up any too much longer because I know he had a long day at work today. Real quick, going around the sports world, back to the NBA. To the MLB. The Phillies got their ass kicked the last two nights. Let's get back on track tonight versus Washington in Washington. I think the game is on right now, I believe. So, this is a series, but right now, hopefully, the Phillies are winning. Pete Alonso becomes the Mets' all-time home run leader. Good for Petey the Polar Bear. Not a Mets fan. I don't care. The Brewers.
Damn, congrats.
The Brewers are on a 12-game winning streak. The best since All-Star break. They're playing one of the best baseball, James. That is good and bad because the timing is not where you want it to be, but hey, wins are wins. You'll get them when you can, and get them when you can.
Yeah, just looking forward to, I'd say, right October, make that push to the playoffs and go from there. I think getting, you know, Johan Duran was a huge move for the Phillies. What do they call him? The Durantula? I just found that out.
Dude, did you see the first night he came out?
Yeah, that was electric. Dude,
I know you go to games like every. You got like I got to get the one. We got
to
get the one.
I went to five this year alone.
You went to 10. Felt like more.
Nah, it was five.
I don't know. Every night was.
I've been to a number of games this year alone. Not just feel like Phillies, but just in general. But yeah, Philadelphia, like Phillies, it's been like five of them.
every night it was on my Instagram. Just a new change. This is a big part. Thought dude lived there at one point.
I was basically living at the bank for a little bit, which is great. It's always rocking. It's always rocking. I love going down there. I just something therapeutic about going to a baseball game. You know,
honestly, yeah, for sure.
Like aside from just the excitement, like I remember going to a 2023 playoff game against the Diamondbacks when they thrashed them with like home run after home run after home run. Like aside from that, going to a nice summertime game where it's just like the stakes aren't high, you're just going to have a good time. There's something so good about it.
James, go to a Phillies game, even game where Golden Hour is about to hit, right? Sit right with Golden Hour, you know, drink a little something, or James, do a little bit of this too. Have yourself a good night.
Yeah. Have yourself a good old time. Going out to Xfinity Live.
What?
Yeah, you're right. Go enjoy your time, you know.
Enjoy your time. You only live once, so they say.
YOLO.
With that being said, James, I think we give up on that. I think we covered everything. Oh, yeah, and James Cook did get paid. He got a four-year deal from the Buffalo Bills, $48 million, and includes $30 million guaranteed. Good for James Cook. Well-deserved contract. Bengals figured it out. Cowboys figured it out. Washington figured it out. And Steelers, Cam Hayward, give that man his money. He owned up to his word. He deserves more. Figured out. I'm not a big Cam Hayward fan, but deserves it. But that's all for me. James, anything catch your eye across the sports world? Anything? No?
Looking forward to the birds. Looking forward to, well, I don't know about looking forward to, but at least tuning in to the Sixers, see what those Flyers can do. And, just looking forward to fall because, you know, that's when all the sports
radio are stuff. Together.
I'm looking forward to watching the sports. Aside from just baseball and all that, I'm just looking forward to the hustle and bustle.
We have
a lot to talk about.
You tired of sports in the top 10 plays being like a dive and catch?
That's what I mean. I'm looking forward to just a little bit more than just like, hey, a dive and catch with this man.
Dive and catch. Like, a home run. Another split.
1,000 times over the course of my sports watching career. Let's see something different.
Hey, how many times can we show? How many times can we put a double play in the top 10 on ESPN?
Oh, a double play. Like, been there, done that. 6-4-3 double play.
Hey, I don't want to see a 2-3, a 1-2-3, or a 4-2-1. I don't care. No more. But with that being said, y'all, a lot of fun things are up and coming. The Instagram, for those who don't know, we did roll out the Instagram. Follow us on Instagram at the Kickback Pod. All one word. I believe James, all lowercase as well, right? Yes. Yes. So make sure you follow us on their content coming out with football season coming soon. We did do a little bit. We were boots on the ground at Eagles open practice. James, next year we gotta get you there, buddy. Eagles open practice, we were boots on the ground there. Me, Pat, and Dom himself, and in front of the program, Gabe as well. The radio show will be coming back. James, I know, delayed return on your part, waiting for you. It's all good, brother. Don't worry, I'm gonna hold the fort down with just some music hanging out. And I'll dabble some sports talk here now. I wanna, you know, shoot my guns too much. But radio show coming, hopefully we get 2 hours. So we're gonna do things a little bit differently because I don't want to make the content seem repetitive. So me and this gentleman over here will come with some great ideas to make the radio show more fun, where it's not you guys hearing the same things twice. You will hear music on there as well because a brother needs a timeout from talking. But that being said, though, just a lot of fun things coming up. Make sure you stay with us. Make sure you check us out on TikTok as well at the Kickback Pod. And YouTube coming soon. We talked about doing something totally different on YouTube as well. Maybe like a little sit down, sit back, and we all just shoot the shit. For those who don't know, all four of us are all good friends here. We all have great, amazing talks. Me and James had, you know, wonderful talks this past semester. Me and Dom always, and me and Pat is always as well. So we want to bring that to you guys, and just so you can hear the less sports. I know you kind of hear the jokes here and there, you know, kind of come out here and there. James, they don't know that it's just appetizer.
You have fun. I mean, come on, life's too short, like me.
That being said, y'all, this is the Kickback Pod. No, because I think I'm short.
If I
stand on your shoulders, we become tough. But hey, thank you guys for listening. This is the Kickback Pod. I'm Gavin, that's James, producer Dom in the background, Pat in the distance, and we will see you guys next time. Peace. Raise a 5-star.